Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all of the region around Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming for his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not presume to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who comes after me is more powerful than I, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning again. The scriptures for Advent this morning take us into a story that includes a lot of scary and archaic language that confronts us with words about sin and repenting, and that when we bring it up into the language of today is meant to remind us of ways that our lives need to change. Let's ask for God to surround us with grace and hope as we come into this scripture, and as we do that together, let us go to God in prayer. Gracious and holy God, startle us with good news of your grace and hope and presence all around us in this Advent season. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. John the Baptist. When his mama named him that, he pretty much had no choice but to become a preacher. But the expectations about John started a long time before that. Tradition has it that more than 400 years earlier, back in the book of the prophet Isaiah, when it says that a voice will cry out in the wilderness and prepare the way for the Lord, that they had someone like John the Baptist in mind. And when John came along and his work began, it turned out that everyone really wanted to hear what he had to say. People came from far and wide to hear him. Today we will try to figure out what was the big deal. We are here in the third week of Advent, this season before Christmas, when Christians remind ourselves what Christmas is for and what Jesus' life was about, and we seek to refresh our relationship with God. We've been doing this with reference to Charles Dickens' old story, A Christmas Carol, which I have reminded you was written for religious reasons. The story tracks with the themes of Advent in the Church of England and its liturgy, and Dickens wrote it to shake Christians out of their complacency and their hypocrisy and to remind them of the meaning of Jesus. So the first couple of Sundays, we met Ebenezer Scrooge, who is a surprisingly complicated character. Yes, he is grumpy and he is greedy, but you kind of begin to understand why when the ghost of Christmas past takes him back to his childhood, and we discover his history of rejection and neglect. Scrooge is carrying around a lot of pain. The ghosts who visit Scrooge are going to try to renew in him a sense that he is a child of God and worthy of love, and that he has joy to share with other people. In part three today, the ghost of Christmas present visits Scrooge. And here the story turns from Scrooge himself to the world around him. The ghost wants to wake him up and show him the world all around him, the world that Scrooge has been ignoring. The ghost takes Scrooge to the home of his employee, Bob Cratchit. They go there on Christmas Day. Bob is surrounded by a loving family. They are joyful with one another, even though they are barely getting by in life. Bob works his tail off for Scrooge, and Scrooge does not pay him enough to take care of his family. This is a reality that exists all over our own city. Scrooge is surprised to learn that one of Bob's children is seriously ill. Scrooge has never bothered to ask about Bob's family. And he observes that this child will not survive without better nutrition and better care. Scrooge, who had a broken relationship with his own uncaring father, is moved by Bob's love for his children. And Scrooge is starting to see the real human costs of his lack of compassion for the poor. Scrooge is slowly moving from humbug to hallelujah, which is the point of us telling these stories. Aren't we all trying to find the real joy of Christmas? Aren't we all trying to acknowledge that materialism and stress too often become the main themes of Christmas, and that God wants to set us free for something better? In this busy season, this tiring season, God wants to slow us down. God wants to wake others of us up so that we don't miss the present moments going on all around us, so that we can connect with what matters in the lives of others and in our own lives. The biblical parallel here is with this story of John the Baptist. John the Baptist comes up every year in the readings for Advent. He comes up here because his work was to announce the ministry of Jesus. John the Baptist wants to wake people up to what's going on all around them in the present moment so that they don't miss the meaning of Jesus. The story of John the Baptist tells us that people were traveling great distances to see him. Why? Some clues in the story tell us that John is not conveniently appearing in the synagogues or the town squares nearby. He is out in the desert. It is a journey to get there. People skip my sermons if they can't find a good parking spot, but for John, they traveled far and wide. Why? John is a strange character. He's dressed in the skin of an animal. He's living in the wild. He's eating what he can catch and kill. Why come and hear such a person? Why listen to him? And finally, John has tough news for the people. John is not out there waiting to tell his listeners how great they are and how glad he is to see them. No, John says, repent. Change your hearts and your lives. Now is the time. When the comfortable people, the religious authorities who think they have it figured out, when they come to see John, he calls them a brood of vipers and asks them, who bothered to tell you to come and see me? Who bothered to warn you that it's time to change? So why did they go? Why would people go out of their way to hear a strange person tell them a lot of hard things? I've been preaching this story for almost 2 decades, and the best answer I've ever come up with is that he was telling the truth. He was telling the truth. He wasn't a hypocrite. What John had to say was hard to hear, and some people probably walked away hanging their heads because they knew they were not ready to change. But John wasn't wasting anyone's time. What he had to say was important. He wanted to invite them into a better life, a life he wasn't just talking about, but was actually living. And even if they weren't ready to adopt that life for themselves, they could tell that John was exactly the kind of person who knew the purpose for which God had created him. And not only was he talking about it, he was living it every day. Many of us know of someone like John, or we can imagine it, an inspiring, visionary person whose eyes are on the prize. They're not preoccupied with how they look or the car they drive because they're trying to save children's lives or cure a disease or paint something that people will never forget. In their presence, you feel passion and fervor and hope. You want some of what they've got. This is not just what John the Baptist talked about, it was who he was. It must have been John's passion and his own personal commitment that made him especially good at telling people things they did not want to hear, things they needed to change. That's hard to do. From time to time, every once in a great while, a person comes along, maybe a well-known mentor or maybe just a total stranger, and the tough word that she speaks is one that you can hear. It's a word that you know to be true. And the reason this strategy works, well, it's actually not so mysterious. The reason this strategy works is that most of us already know the thing about us that needs to change. And we may just need to hear it spoken out loud. And maybe it needs to be spoken at the time when we are finally ready to change. Sometimes the tough word you need to hear is about the world around you and the extra mile you need to go to help someone else. It's the courageous speaking up that you need to do. It's the wealth that you need to share. It's the time that you need to set aside for your neighbor, your mother, your friend. Sometimes being reminded of these obligations feels like a shaming, a burden, an indication of your failures. But with John, it was different. He spoke to people of the work they needed to do in a way that invited them to get up and get going. And sometimes the tough word we need to hear is about our own personal transformation. I suspect that as I stand up here today, you can imagine for yourself the thing in your life that most needs to change. Most of us know what it is. It's probably scary to you, even though acting on it would bring you great joy. The great anthropologist Joseph Campbell maybe said it best. He said, "The cave that you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek." John the Baptist had a way of speaking to people about how to change their hearts and lives. I wonder where John the Baptist's story is speaking to you today. In this present moment, Scrooge needed a word about his greed and his joylessness. He needed to notice the world around him and the struggling people he had the ability to help. In order to find that treasure in his own life, he had to go into a dark cave. He had to confront his past and wake up to the present. I wonder how John's message is speaking to you. Can you identify the main work God has created for you in your lifetime? What is it? If you aren't sure, what are some ways you could begin to identify God's intention for your life? That's not a question for the future, it's a question about the present. Let's pray together. God, December is often a time of tough memories or difficult feelings. Too much to do, too much to buy, too many misplaced priorities. Wake us up, O God, to this present moment in our lives and to the work you are calling us to do in our own lives and in the world around us. Help us not to waste this Advent. Amen.